out, so it was August. We were supposed to go from October back to August 14th. Did anyone get caught up in that mix-up? Anyway, whoever's on the call right now knows better. And I think Virginia and I informed a couple people that never saw the whoops one that came after that. Mistakes happen. So, Sandy, right. We should ask you, what is the temperature range in Miami, Florida now?
It's still pretty hot. I think it was supposed to be a low of 73 tonight, so I'm not sure what the high was. But but it's starting to, it's not quite as humid now, so, you know, getting a little feeling that could be getting to the end of the summer here.
I see. And someone is from Ashland, North Carolina, is that right?
Asheville.
That's Susan.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Asheville, North Carolina.
And
hello,
is that in the
this
Blue Ridge or is that in the middle or the...
It's over in the mountains.
Mm. So nice and
hello,
nice.
This is Wade in South Carolina.
Hi, Wade.
Hi, Wade.
Hi, Wade.
Hey. Hey.
In Arizona.
Okay,
who's on from Arizona?
Yes.
Who?
Edwina? Donna.
Donna.
And there's maybe a couple more people haven't said their name yet that are on.
Yes, this is Martin. I'm in Washington State.
Uh-huh. Okay. Are you on the coast or more inland?
In the Puget Sound area.
Pardon me?
In the Seattle area.
Okay. Beautiful city.
I'm actually close to Carnation.
I never heard of that. I live on the East Coast.
Have you ever heard of Carnation Dairy?
Sure.
Okay, it's the founding dairy for Carnation milk products, which of course is no longer in business. But.
How interesting. Yeah, there are a couple more people that have just come on. Would you say your names, please?
Hi, Sally. It's Mark Levin. How are you?
Hey, Mark. From Silver Spring, Maryland.
Right.
Did I say it right? It's
you did.
Okay. I finally got it after months. Depends on if it's springs or spring.
Yeah, it's just one
but
spring.
Now
yeah.
I'll get myself mixed up again. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Okay, who else is on that hasn't said their name, please? Okay, Carl, you should say your name.
Yeah, this is Carl Moose in Massachusetts. I'm also on, Sally's husband.
And we see your name and email all the time.
Hi.
That's right. Oh, people still coming on. Would you say your name, please?
This is Bernie Palm here in beautiful downtown New Carlisle, Ohio.
Now I come from Ohio originally. Where's New Carlisle? Is that near Dayton?
Near Dayton, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Sherry Leonzi, Hollywood, Florida.
Can you say your name again? Say your name again, please.
Terry Leonzi, Hollywood, Florida.
All right. There is a Hollywood in Florida.
Douglas Turner, Alfred, New York.
Alfred, okay. That's near Utica?
No, we're on the southern tier.
Okay.
The southern tier.
This is Mike Hirsch from Maryland, just outside D.C., and also the PDA national team.
Hi, Mark. Mike, it's nice to have you on this call.
Thank you.
You're going to try to learn about sequestration and stuff?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we all need to.
Yep.
All right, anyone else that hasn't said their name, please?
No. All right, then I think we should get going here. I'm Virginia Hofflair. I'm the co-coordinator with Sally White. welcome. I want to welcome all of you to the call tonight. We're going to get right to it because we have a lot to talk about. The sequestration process and is a mystery to many of us. I remember when they first did that, I tried to look up some things about it, but it's still, I'll just say, Gail Murphy with the, who's been an avid peace activist for many years, currently works with United for Peace and Justice on legislative issues, and she's going to try to help us understand the whole process. Gail, welcome to our call.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I, too, am kind of intimidated by the topic, I might add. I'm not really going to be a presenter as much of a discussant, and hopefully we can chat our way through all of this. I do have some information to bring to you and see where that leads us. Just to be sure that everyone knows, United for Peace and Justice started in 2002 as a coalition effort to oppose Bush's threat of war in Iraq. That was in 2002. And it wasn't until and Susan Oler from Asheville, North Carolina, was in the first meeting, so she can help me remind what year it was, but United for Peace and Justice, around the time that the Democrats took over the House, decided that it was time for UFPJ to work on legislative issues related to war and war spending. And that's when we got started. UFPJ has since evolved into a network, for probably the biggest reason is that I think Obama kind of took the wind out of the peace movement sails. But we push on because the issues certainly haven't shrunk since then. If anything, our challenges have grown a lot worse. And I also wanted to just go over some stats, some global stats about our spending so that we're, sitting in a context of hopefully outrage. So in 2011, the USA's military spending accounted for 43% of the world's total military spending. And the base budget since 2000 has more than doubled. It's 86% increase. And that excludes supplemental funding that has been used to pay for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Just looking at our national security budget since 9/11, 2001, we have spent $7.6 trillion. That's $5,372 per second. It's crazy. Nuclear arms, $230 billion in the last 10 years. Pentagon core budget, $5.6 trillion, 80% increase over 10 years. Homeland security, $472 billion. Started out at $16 billion. It's now running at $70 billion in 10 years. So, and a little perspective, 47 out of 50 states are running in the red as we speak, to the tune of about $122 billion, which is, 1 year of Iraq-Afghanistan funding. So we are living in insane times, and, this military machine is very difficult to stop, as many of us know. But come January, we do need, and not come January, but starting even immediately, we can continue to push back, and we need to do a better job of doing it together, as in peace activists, social justice activists, domestic needs folks, economic justice folks. I mean, we really do need to come together and push a lot harder than we have. This is our moment. Also, to remind you, the current Pentagon budget, which is working on was approved at least in the House at $519 billion for a base budget, $88.5 billion for Afghanistan, and we're currently running on a continuing resolution until March 27, 2013. Congress was not able to pass any of its 12 appropriations this year. It passed in the House 326 to 90, 11 Republicans voted no, and 101 Democrats voted yes. However, we should mention that Barbara Lee's amendment to only use Afghanistan funding for bringing the troops home received the majority of majority of Democrats voted on that, and we shouldn't lose sight of that. The bill is still standing. She is still collecting sponsors, co-sponsors, so that is something that is alive and still moving and that we should still be pushing. You know, it's not the most exciting legislation, but it is the clearest language calling for an end to the war. So before we move into what can we do, maybe just a little bit about sequestration. So if you recall, there was the big brouhaha about raising the debt ceiling, and if we didn't raise it, we would go into default by not paying off our loan debts, et cetera. I mean, paying off our servicing our debts, et cetera. So Obama and Congress came to an agreement, which was the Budget Control Act of 2011, to resolve this crisis and set strict spending limits over the next 10 years. Out of this the Budget Control Act came the creation of the Super Committee, and they were supposed to come up by November 2011 with a deficit reduction proposal of at least $1.2 trillion. And if there was no proposal that was approved, then on January 2nd or 3rd, 2013, any increase in the debt ceiling will trigger an automatic sequestration of funds. That is, any funds for those programs will be locked away. They will not have access to them. So it's that's the cliff that everyone is talking about. You know, if we meet these obligatory cuts across the board, equally shared by Pentagon and domestic programs, except for those exempt, to the tune of $109 billion, plus $500 billion in tax increases, that we would be facing a serious fiscal cliff, and that would probably send us into another recession. So nobody wants this. It was what Obama used to put pressure on the committee to come up with a plan. A lot of economists say that we shouldn't be focused on deficit reduction right now anyway, given the state of our economy. We should be focusing on creating jobs. Once we're on firmer economic ground, we can collect more taxes, and our deficit will reduce, you know, automatically. Maybe not by enough, but certainly there'll be reductions. So why we're focusing on deficit reduction, you know, as the number one item on the agenda after the election is a question in a lot of people's minds. So let's see. So if they don't meet this, so if they don't come up with something by the end of the year, $1.2 trillion worth of cuts, and we know how in disagreement they are, the Republicans don't want to want the Bush tax cuts to expire, so keeping the revenue down, and the Democrats are calling for keeping domestic spending at current levels, or a lot are. So, you know, there's not a meeting of the minds as yet. So the sequestration would be applied to mandatory and discretionary spending from 2013 to 2021. Equally affecting Pentagon and domestic programs, as I said, and if they automatic spending cuts for things like investments, domestic investments like education, veterans assistance, healthcare, infrastructure. This is what a bipartisan Congress agreed to do last year. Now we've heard a lot of noise from the likes of McCain and his buddy from South Carolina,
Graham.
Graham. you know, and a couple of others went on a tour at the, in July, I believe, to raise awareness in the public that any cuts to Pentagon would be devastating, that it would put us in serious security risk, et cetera. The White House Congress ordered the White House to produce a report on what the impact of to specify what they would be cutting, because they didn't really trust that there wouldn't be some shell game going on. So the White House Office of Management and Budget submitted a report, I think it was around the middle of September, on the impact. And they said there would be about 9.4% cuts to most defense programs, except those exempted in the sequestration law, and a 10% cut to a handful of other Pentagon accounts that are not subject to annual congressional appropriations. So that would total $55 billion. Medicare would get hit with a 2% cut, $11 billion, while domestic discretionary programs such as scientific grants and education department programs would be subject to 8.2% cuts, $43 billion. Most mandatory domestic programs, those funded based on eligibility, would be slashed between either 8.6 or 7.6%. So we're looking at, you know, big cuts for fiscal year 2013. And given that if the sequestration goes into effect in January, the 2013, one quarter of the 2013 money will have already been obligated. So the cuts will come from three quarters, which will be even, you know, more, you know, the effect will be even stronger. Any questions so far?
Yeah, Gail, isn't all of this just the fault of the fact that the Congress was not able to pass any kind of budget, anything, because they can't get along with each other to do the people's
yep.
work.
Yeah.
So now
and that's what this.
Like, why are you complaining?
Yeah. And what's interesting is that the Republicans also signed on to it, but now they're, you know, trying to go back on it. And one question about the war, you know, is it subject to the sequester? I'm not clear yet on whether it is actually exempt. Because I've read in some analysis that it looks as though it is subject to the sequester. However, the OMB has some interpretation room, and that it could be interpreted as being exempt. And if not, there would likely be legislation to make it exempt. So if that occurs, that might be an opportunity. But we're, you know, there's a big question, because it is so draconian, because it is such a quote-unquote blunt instrument, reckless, you know, and you've heard the worst descriptions of sequestration, you know, that there is belief that they're going to pull out a deal at the 11th hour. So we'll see. And that's what we should be listening for. And already members have started meeting again. I think you've read about the Gang of Eight. Some were on the super committee, and they've added a couple of other members, but it's half Democrats, half Republicans, and they're already meeting and conferring with Simpson Bowles to see if they can have some options by the time Congress reconvenes on November 13th. So we should be listening to what is coming out of those. They're meeting secretly in Virginia. And already there's speculation that they might go for deeper cuts in Pentagon spending as a proposal, because there's no hawk on that particular committee. But how official they are, I don't know. How much these options will be heard, you know, it's not clear. I think that's one big thing for us to remember, is that we don't know how this is going to play out. There have been budget control acts in the past, but they have never had triggers. This is brand new. So we really don't know how this is going to play out, how Congress is going to react, and who's going to be playing after the November election. So those, all those unknowns are going to have an impact on how this plays out. So we really can't know exactly what's going to happen. Our assumption is that they're going to come in, they're going to start, you know, hammering out some kind of a deal. That's an opportunity for them to put the war on the table. There is, as we all have experienced over these years, growing, overwhelming majority of Americans are against the war. We know all of the dysfunction in Afghanistan. The most recent convert to getting out as soon as possible is, what's his name, Young.
Is that the Republican?
He used to be chair of the, Defense Appropriations, and he came out strongly against the war. So we're seeing, you know, a growing resentment about how we're spending our money in Afghanistan and what we're doing there, and failed military policy is being exposed every day. So the war should be on the table when they do discuss this, and whatever we can do to push that is, I think, useful. So what, you know, when Congress reconvenes, what level of Pentagons are being discussed? We want to know that. Is war on the table? Who and how is anyone calling for an audit? Barbara Lee just recently submitted a, I'll get to it. Anyway, calling for an audit of the Pentagon. Who is protecting vital domestic programs, both inside Congress and outside of Congress? The Deal for All, the Congressional Progressive Caucus. We don't know what their strategy is, but they're certainly saying the right things. Hello?
Someone's got music in the background. Can we ask a question?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, Jeff here from Vermont. I'd like to make a point, and then I came in a little bit late, so if anything I say is not quite correct, please feel comfortable in just correcting it in terms of what's happening with the sequestration. But if we go back and understand the acceleration to the debt. We all know that two things in large part drove it. It's always been going up, but the skyrocketing effect under Bush took place because of the tax cuts to the rich and the wars. And the Eisenhower Group says there's going to be a $4 to $6 trillion cost to these wars. So we have to ask ourselves, and all of the conversations I hear everywhere, no one's talking about why this happened. What I would suggest is this has happened as a deliberate plan of empire, the imperialistic empire, to bankrupt the country, to take out the middle class, and be able to solidify their hold on power. And I think we need to start to talk about and point out that this has not happened by chance. This has been whether you want to believe or not, it's been deliberate or not. It's very important to understand how we got here. And so when you look at, and this is where I'm not sure I have all the pieces right, because I haven't refreshed my memory on this, but I understand the cuts to the military, and then I think equal cuts will occur in discretionary spending. What's not going to happen is they're not going to touch things like Social Security. So I'm thinking out loud. My thinking out loud brings me to the conclusion that this might not be such a bad option. The way we are going, if we eliminated all discretionary spending, I think it's for a period of 10 years, we are so deeply in debt that we couldn't still get out of the hole that we're in. We are, in fact,
right,
bankrupt, have succeeded in destroying our country economically. They've destroyed our Constitution. We no longer live in a democracy. So if this is the case, I'd like to see if my thinking holds up with your more educated insights. I'm not so sure if this thing just goes through that it wouldn't be such a bad thing. We need to stop spending. The military cuts, but we need to do it without killing Social Security, which we all know has nothing to do. $2.7 trillion in the Social Security fund that we lent to America. What they're planning to do is not pay it back to us and steal our Social Security. Okay, and so I see that, and out of everything, that's even the worst possible tragedy is to steal or allow them to steal the Social Security fund. And so on that note, I appreciate you to agree and have no mercy on sharing any facts I've gotten wrong, please.
Would the question
mind telling us
what his name is and where he lives? I guess he didn't get in that part of the call.
Could you say your name and where you're from again?
Yeah, Jeff. I'm from Vermont.
Thank you.
No, I agree with you, in terms of the Bush tax cuts and the war contributing 50% to our deficit, maybe. I mean, hugely, no question. I don't know if it was a plan or just lack of governance on the part of our elected officials. But the point is, we are where we are at. There is a law on the books that's saying we got to cut across all programs equally, and unfortunately, Pentagon can afford it. At least the analysts think that Pentagon can afford a $50 billion cut this year. But can our most needed programs afford a $50 billion cut? You know, can Medicaid? Medicaid. You know, look at all of the services at the state level that are funded by federal programs. That's what we're talking about. Substance abuse clinics, child nutrition programs. That music is a little bit distracting.
Let me ask you this. This is not my music. But does it have to come there? Why can't we cut back on foreign?
Whoever is playing the music, can we turn it off?
And let's all mute if we know.
Star six to mute.
Star six.
They're probably. Hello.
Sorry, Jeff.
Great. Go ahead. So I just want to say that we can agree that the cuts in the Pentagon would not be, you know, I think Gates said it some years back that they could knock out $200 billion and they would still be prepared. You know, they would be in that readiness.
Can the cuts possibly come from subsidies to the oil company, subsidies to...
Exactly. Well, that's what I wanted to say, was that, in fact, the deficit, you know, we could get rid of our deficit by just eliminating all the tax loopholes to corporations and high-earning individuals.
Well, much less the subsidies.
You know, and we're not going to get away with... I don't think this Congress is going to get away with that kind of... or this president with that kind of a message.
Stack Wade.
And who is this?
Wade,
okay.
Yes. I'd just like to make a comment.
Okay.
The sequestration, I just don't think is a good idea, and I think it just is an easy way for the Congress to get out, since they haven't done anything since the 60s about so many of these agencies that we're talking about. But at the same time, sequestration, you know, takes away from, let's get back to the needs of the people versus the greed and the obscenity of the Congress that, you know, we'll go through a whole session and wait till the last minute and do a little of something just so they've done something. So, you know, I think the pressure needs to be continued to be put on the Congress, and hopefully there are going to be a lot of incumbents don't go back in, and that's my hope for 2012. And if that doesn't happen, then I'm really worried, but I still don't think the answer is sequestration, because we've got too many people in need when you talk about if it's Social Security or Medicare or Medicaid and people without jobs. Thank you.
May I make a comment?
Yes. Who?
please tell us your name.
All right, this is Donna in Arizona. Some of the talk I've heard about this, one is that if we went over into sequestration, and you made mention of the fact that some of this stuff, the stuff that will be spent in the first quarter is already there, so the rest of it would have to come, it would come in, kick in the second quarter. One of the things that will happen at sequestration, and this has been talked about a lot, is that the tax cuts for everybody will go away, and at that point, all bets are off as far as the Grover-Norquist pledge. In other words, no matter, since their taxes will automatically go back up to prior to Bush limits, any amount they cut after that is a cut, not a raise in their taxes. And at that point, then all we've got to do is go back in and put cuts back in for the lower classes and not cut the upper, you know, the more wealthy. There's been a lot of talk, and people that watch TV have probably seen this too, that basically what's going to happen is if they go into sequestration, when they go back in and these tax cuts are no longer a problem, there's no arguing about the Grover-Norquist pledge, that they can then get to work on fixing these other things, and that what they would do at that point is make tax cuts retroactive for the new tax, lower taxes for the middle class, and leave the higher ones in there and make it retroactive to the first of the year. You know, there are a lot of people that tend to think that this is not going to be such a bad thing, that there are a lot of things that will get cut, but that it's eminently fixable in the first quarter, and potentially we have more potential to get it fixed and hopefully more cooperation then. That's just my comment.
Thanks, Donna. But how does if they're going to come back in November and start working on this, you know, what if there's a large amount, and by a large amount, maybe 10% of the Congress that's changing, how is that going to affect the whole discussion?
Right. We don't know.
Well, they.
You know, what if the Democrats win the House?
Yeah, they won't. It won't be changing until this is not going to take
until January.
Yeah, until the first of the year. Yeah.
So
where is
the incentive?
But it changes
for
the
to do anything.
Well, yeah. You can hope that it will change for the better, but at the very least, one of the things that we've needed to do was get rid of these Bush tax cuts for the rich, which are responsible, other than the military, for most of our deficit, because that's the cause of the unfunded wars. You know, so at least it would get rid of that. And yes, the lower classes would take a ding, but that's pretty quickly fixable and fixable retroactively, and I think that they could do it and would do it, rather than send us into a recession. So,
but wait a minute, are you tying the Bush tax expiration to the sequestration?
Absolutely, because if we go over the cliff, they expire, all the tax cuts expire. And the whole problem has been they've all signed this Grover-Norquist pledge that says they cannot raise taxes on the rich. Well, when all of the tax cuts automatically expire, they're going to automatically go back to Bush tax levels, which are, you know, they're going to be paying higher taxes. So they'll go up to Bush levels. So even if they said to the rich, okay, we're gonna cut the 98% back to what they were, but we're only cutting the upper levels 2%, they can't argue it's not a tax cut, because anything they do at that point will be a cut.
Mm-hmm.
Gail, do you know when up to what point have the Bush tax cuts now been extended? Because that's not going to expire at the same time as...
I thought they did, the end of the year.
I believe they do. Yeah,
end of the year, but it's not, you know, it's a separate expiration. There's the super committee expiration, which trigger, you know, the not coming up with a deficit reduction proposal triggers the sequestration.
Yeah.
But separate from that, the Bush tax cuts expire at the end of the year, and that's, you know, that's the fiscal cliff. Is the $500 billion
what they're
talking about is
when the new term starts, then they can they're immediately no longer dealing with the Bush tax cuts.
Right.
Yeah, this is Sandy in Miami. I mean, if we can somehow use this opportunity to make our voices heard, you know, obviously I think every one of us on this call understands that what has created this crisis are these two things, the Bush tax cuts and the military spending. There was the New York Times on their website a year or two ago had a kind of puzzle, you know, saying, can you fix the budget? And this allowed you, you know, interactively to go in and do various things to the budget. And, of course, it was very, very simple. If you simply got rid of those Bush tax cuts and made whatever small reduction in military spending the New York Times allowed you to make, the entire problem just disappeared. And so, you know, there's really an opportunity here if we
mm-hmm.
can figure out the way to use it to, you know, to educate our fellow citizens about the reality of the situation.
So what are our challenges? I mean, we know that the Republicans have already started to restore defense spending even before it's been cut, right? So they're going to be pushing hard for that, and probably some Democrats along with them. And there's going to be a major effort by Republicans to cut discretionary domestic spending in order to save precious defense dollars. So...
You know,
whatever happens, we should be mobilizing to protect those vital domestic programs and to cut defense. So I totally agree with you, but those are going to be our challenges. Those who want to hang on to those the mightiest military in the world.
Given the realities of the Congress that we have. It's going to be very difficult to do that. So to be a realist, and thinking out loud, we need to start to making sure that we restore the programs that are going to be cut, like the Republicans are doing. And they're not Republicans. I don't even think they're even Americans, in my opinion. But the big benefit of this is you have to increase the taxes on the rich. If you accomplish that and accomplish taking a bite out of the military, you have something, okay? And because the goal of all of this is to keep the rich without the tax cuts, to give the military status quo or more money, and eventually cut every program for we the people as they privatize this country and the oligarchy takes over. So the reality dictates that we ought to fight to hold the line to keep the military cuts and the tax increases.
This is Mike Hurst, Ohio. I think
mm-hmm.
that we have a general agreement on everything that's been said. I think that what I'd like to hear, and if there aren't any objections, hope we could move to this call addressing actual strategies that we can employ to try to get our message to the members of Congress and put pressure on them. And that's a lot of what PDA does. We were very involved during the time of the super committee. Engaging with all the members of the super committee that would listen to us, and we helped to scuttle the plans to attack Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and that was one of the big victories
mm-hmm.
of PDA and many, many others. It was hardly just PDA, but we were able to mobilize a pretty strong coalition, and I think we should probably think about doing that in a practical way for the rest of the call rather than just kind of reciting everything that we all agree with. In terms of
mm-hmm.
what the other side is up to and what we need to do. The question now is how to do it, you know, how to do what we need to do.
Thank you.
Well, I thought
point.
I heard you talk about Barbara Lee calling for an audit of the
Pentagon?
Well, she has a new, yes, she has a new bill, and I don't know who's on yet, but it's about auditing the Pentagon, and I think that that's, to me, that resonates as a very populist message. You know, I don't think most Americans know that the Pentagon doesn't get audited, that they're not accountable for the dollars that they spend. They know that they've been throwing money at these problems, Iraq, Afghanistan, but not accounting for it. So I think that that is an opportunity to support her and that bill. You know, we've pushed hard on H.R. 780, which is Barbara Lee's standalone bill that says use Afghanistan monies only for the return of troops. I think that continues to be a very strong message that we should be bringing to our members of Congress who have not co-sponsored the bill. FCNL is working on Pentagon waste, fraud, and abuse. It behooves us to know what they're up to and to support them in doing that work. I think they just put out an article today that Pentagon has lost $100 billion they can't account for. I think we need to talk as much as possible to our local in our local communities. You know, who in our local communities are mobilizing for domestic programs and economic justice? We just, perhaps some of you got this in your email, just received it. I've sent around from the Coalition on Human Needs a campaign, SAVE, that they're doing. Have you, anyway, so they've just made their letter public. Groups representing millions nationwide challenge Congress not to harm low-income Americans with sequestration. It's an excellent letter. Over 1,900 organizations have signed it. Any one of us can go to the Coalition on Human Needs site, look up the letter, and they have the organizations listed by state. We should know who these people are who signed on to this letter, because it talks about reducing defense spending. It talks about military spending being not what it should be, and that it's sacrificing, it's on the backs of low-income Americans. So this is an example of an effort that we should be joining. Did PDA sign the letter? Do you know?
Yes.
Okay. So do we all know who those organizations are in our states? You know, have we reached out to those folks and talked to them about defense spending, Pentagon spending, I should say, and built something local?
This is Sally. Can I make a little insert here?
Yeah.
The steering committee of this call feels a need to have a way for us to talk to each other. And so maybe the easiest thing is for me to give my PDA email address. And so people that are on the call that have asked these interesting questions and comments, so my email says the most about war. So I'm glad somebody gave it to me. It's called end-war@. And then you have to be clever to get the PDA America, pdamerica.org. And Virginia has an what we'd really love is if everyone got on what we have a forum that is part of the newer website that came in a little less than a year ago. And not very many people on our calls seem to be using the forum or probably aren't even on it. And I don't know if Rich, who is on the call, can explain how to get onto the forum tonight. But we do have a way now in about a week or two to send out an action alert. And so maybe I'm just trying to think on my feet here. It's a very good discussion, Gail, that you're leading. And I'm very happy that people are jumping in and asking me. So maybe on the action alert, somehow we will also put down how to get onto the forum so we can talk to each other in between. So it's our goal anyway. So I'm sorry to interrupt. So go ahead with wherever you were or whoever.
So I just wanted to say that what we build locally, you know, We've always heard about Pentagon spending as a sacred cow, that it can't be talked about in terms of cuts, and it's been only increasing. So we need to build in our communities, I think, among our colleagues and friends and family, the idea that there is wasteful Pentagon spending and that it needs to be cut now, that we are in trouble. And so I think the local work, the grassroots work, finding out who's working on domestic economic issues is useful. And joining, and PDA does a great job of that. PDA does the best job of that as an anti-war group, in fact. So, and just to note, I wanted to, Barbara Lee's Audit the Pentagon Act of 2012 is H.R. 6528, and it's to reduce by 5% the discretionary budget authority of any federal agency for a fiscal year if the financial statement of that agency for previous fiscal year does not receive an unqualified audit opinion by an independent auditor. So
okay, then I'll pledge, this is Virginia, I'll pledge that when we send out our mid-month blast, we will have the information on that H.R. 6528 as to who has signed on, so that you can check it and see if your congressperson has not signed on, then you know you can get a hold of them as soon as possible.
And 780, I hope you reiterate 780 as well.
Yeah.
This is Andrea. There are only three people on the bill, so I guarantee you your congressperson probably has not signed on.
Right.
Hi, Yvette Clark, Jan Schakowsky, Pete Stark.
And this is Sandy in Miami, and PDA has our monthly brown bag lunch vigils at our congressional offices next week. So for all the people on the call who are doing a brown bag lunch vigil next week, here now we've got something else to bring up with the congressional staff.
And this is Andrea again. For people who want to know what is really being going to be affected by the cuts, literally the programs and the dollar amounts, we did a lot of lobbying on the Hill during the super committee. And so we have a document that was prepared by the Center for American Progress. We basically kept it in the download section of pdacommunity.org. It's called What the Debt Deal Cost. And they basically compare what they cut, meaning what the human needs programs they cut and what programs they're protecting. So $97.5 billion in subsidies for business inventories, and then the cut would be $98 billion for Head Start and child care program support. People don't understand what is going to be cut out of the budget. And again, I'm talking budget for 2013 sequestration. People don't really understand what they're really looking at and where these cuts are coming from. There is also another document there called Working for a Fair Deal, which is PDA's suggested budget of this is what you can cut and this is what you should keep. So cut this, protect this. So we basically said, we've seen what you want to do. Now, here is our budget. Our budget is based partially on the people's budget, so we are going to have to revise that. Thank you.
Andy, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Do you know what the CDC is planning on doing with Deal for All? Anything around the sequestration or...
No.
Around cutting defense spending? Have they got anything together?
I have not heard what they plan to release. I know they're talking about doing several things. I don't know what they've decided to do.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that that's a kind of indicative of where we're at with the sequestration. I mean, there are lots of people who don't believe it's going to happen. And there are some on this call who believe it should happen. And some of you believe in part should happen. But I think we're, you know, we really won't know until after the election. We won't know till they come back November 13th. And yet, but having said that, I do think that it's a good idea to keep our ear to the ground around this Gang of Eight that's meeting and what they're coming up with.
It's actually a gang of 38. It's gotten far more dangerous than that. It's a gang of 38. It's led
Are
by
you anywhere
Mark
near
and
them?
Sax Beat Chambliss, yes.
Well, this is Bernie
yeah,
in Ohio.
We spent a lot of time with them in the super committee.
This is Bernie in Ohio. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Bernie.
Not to necessarily jump on Jeff's bandwagon regarding, you know, some kind of worldwide political conspiracy or anything of that nature. However, I have to admit it was only a couple of years ago when I learned that we now have over 700 military bases in 130 countries around the world. And after reading several books, like the one by Mr. Perkins, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, I've now become aware of the fact that a great many of our military bases are actually there doing corporate bidding. It's one of those things where you do have a tendency to say to yourself, how do we educate the people in this country to the fact that we do, in fact, have an empire, but it's not the kind that takes over a country, a country's government. It takes over the country's economy. And I think if we could educate people, I don't know how you put together these kind of things that go viral, but there's a website that I've just discovered recently that I found very informative, and it's called TooMuchOnline.org, and it's put out by the Institute for Policy Studies. And there's a lot of very powerful information there that all relates to the 1%, the tremendous disparity and inequality in our country economically. But the gentleman who said, what do we do to take action? How do you get an action taken? Sometimes I wonder why there aren't people in the streets in our country when you become aware of some of the things, such as the 700 military bases, the amount of money that, you know, people complain about our foreign aid. And then I learned that most of our foreign aid is actually money that goes to our military-industrial complex. We give foreign aid in the form of, here's money for military weapons that you have to buy from our military-industrial complex. How many people are aware of these kind of things? I know I wasn't aware for a long, long time, and it just seems like education is the key. And education, at some point, the people have to say, I'm not going to take this anymore.
This is Jeff. If I can just say ditto, and why that is so important is because it helps us identify what we're really up against. Privatization, as he talks with the military, is also occurring with the water supplies. People go back in history. If you don't know about Bolivia and Bechtel and how they privatized the rainwater, the aquifer now, one of our newest military bases, is in Paraguay along the Bolivia-Brazilian border, one of the largest water aquifers in the world. They're putting military bases all along to secure the water, which is going to become a huge. It's going to be like oil, the water. And so, understanding who we're up against, and I hate to say it this way, but who the enemy is, becomes very important for us to succeed.
And isn't education the key? I mean,
absolutely, it is the key starting point.
And the sad part is, so many people are busy surviving nowadays that ignorance is rampant. And I don't mean that in the way of stupidity. It's just ignorance. There's this, people are just like Romney's non-fact-based debate the other day. It's amazing how many people think he won the debate, and yet when you stop long enough to see how many things he falsified, you say to yourself, wow, how can anybody buy this, you know? Enough from me in a while.
Our hour is just about up. Gail, I'd like to give you the opportunity to wrap up if you have anything else you'd like to add.
Oh, and whose email was that we got, that we were given, n-war@pdaamerica.com? Whose email is that?
Sally? Sally White.
My name is Sally Weiss, and I'm the co-chair of this call along with Virginia.
Very good.
And mine is virginiah@pdamerica.org. Very easy.
And if you
really want to thank you for having you on the call, and we do have a little bit more business, but I want to give you the opportunity to wrap up if you would like.
Well, thanks a lot. I'm sure I wasn't a great deal of help. But I think that, you know, with the sequestration, it is going to be complicated. This is new even for Congress. We don't know what we're going to find come November 13, but thank you, PDA, for being on top of making sure that we're paying attention. And like I said, check out the SAVE letter on Coalition for Human Needs. Check out the organizations in your state. See if there's opportunity to create delegations with these folks and go and visit your members of Congress and talk about how much the war in Afghanistan is costing us and that it's really dysfunctional and a waste in lives and treasure. So I will leave it at that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gail.
And this call is recorded, so it will be on the website in about 2 weeks.
And keep up the great work.
Thank you, Gail, very much.
Thank you, Gail.
Shall I hang up so I don't
listen
to you?
You are welcome to stay on. We generally stay on after the call if anybody else wants to keep discussing, but it does officially end in just a few minutes.
I was wondering, is there any discussion on single-payer health care?
That would be on the health care call.
Okay.
That's a different issue. But,
okay.
They do discuss that all the time.
Very good. Thank you.
Yes. There's going to be a Public Policy Institute and Lobby Day. It's actually 2 days, November 15th and 16th in Washington, D.C., put on by the Friends Committee on National Legislation, which is the Quaker Lobby. So that's something we can jump on board and see what they're up to as well.
Very good.
That'd be good. Thank you.
Doug Turner in Alfred, New York. I have a quick question. Is anyone going to piece together a description of what a great blurb saying to people who do not understand what will be cut and what is being protected by those cuts? And what the proposal for resolving the economic issue or the deficit issue by just allowing the Bush tax cuts to expire and also making the $50 billion budget cut to the Defense Department so that none of the tax cuts would be necessary. Hello, is anyone there?
Yes,
hi.
I'm still here. You mean you'd like
John
to see it?
Hi, John in San Diego, I'm right with you.
Do you want to
Can
see
anyone
George,
put that kind of document together and send
yes,
it out
I will.
To
this is Andrea.
Yes.
Okay.
To everyone.
All right. Keep looking at our page, and we'll get it out on our mid-month blast if we have it by then.
So, Virginia, let's try to describe how to get onto the community page, because if I understood what Andrea said before, some of this is already there. Is that right, Andrea?
That's
correct.
Is it in a specific document, though?
Yes.
It is.
That we can print out and
yes.
we can hand out to
yes.
Our constituencies.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
So let's let Andrea try to tell us how to get onto that particular part of the PDA website.
But it's important to have it in that fashion. In other words,